Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interview. Today we have two fabulous guests, not one, but two, all the way from LA, who are making me stay up late, but I'm trying hard. We have Alex Goldberg and his lovely wife, Katia Oja.
It's Katia Ojeda.
Ojeda. Okay, I didn't know how to say the last name. I try. I screw up everybody's, but you'll get used to it. So, closure. I guess we can start off at the beginning. How is working together?
Working together is great. She's a great working partner. She's a great actress. You know, we met doing theater. She's just a wonderful actress, and she's a good person in the room. Everyone who works with her knows that she's good in the room. What's funny for me is whenever she has trouble memorizing lines, it's because the writing isn't good. And I see this when I help her run lines for TV shows or movies she does. But when it's with my own, I'm like, uh-oh, how did I mess up? And sure enough, I did. I went in there, you know, like the line, the grammar doesn't track or something like that.
So now we know you're going to get dinner later. Katia, how do you feel about this, working with your husband? I know it's wonderful, but you must have arguments.
We never argue ever. No.
Wow. Awesome. Can you help me out?
It's great. I mean, it's how we met. We met in New York years ago. Alex wrote a play and I was in it. Isn't that cute? Little playwright, actress, showmance. So we like working together. That's how it started. But yeah, I mean, we had some challenges working together. I think our primary challenge in shooting this movie together was childcare. Because we have two kids now, but when we made this movie, wow, we made this movie one whole baby ago. Oh. When we made this movie, we had our 2-year-old, and that was by far the most challenging part about working together is managing childcare and making sure he's taken care of while we're on set all day.
I know how that feels, for sure. Actually. I do. My kids are a little bit older, but before we did this interview, I'll let everybody in. I had to go pick them up and tell the other one to put the other one to bed. Just so I could do this on time.
Well, that's why we pushed to a later time, yes. So we could put them to bed.
Yes.
I totally got it. No good. So
when mommy and daddy are talking, don't come out and leave.
So how do you start this process? Alex, I mean, the film's called Closure. Do you have closure? Like, do you feel the film has closure? I'm going to start right here at the beginning. Because I want to go to the end of the beginning, if that makes sense. Because you do
try. The story has closure. I believe the story. Is closure. The process of making a movie will never have closure.
Okay.
The work keeps going.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. I mean, there is there is a death in the film. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say whose death. I mean, and the lead character does have issues with his closure.
Yeah.
And then you introduce more closure that needs to be done on looking for her sister.
Right.
Now, that's the big piece of the puzzle. And I'm not going to ruin the end, but I want to discuss the end right now so we can get into a bit more. I didn't feel as a viewer that the film had that closure. I mean, you do try to give it to me, but I think I need, like, the epilogue, if that makes sense.
Sure. That's, you know, something that's been polarizing.
That's why we're working on Closure 2, even closure-ier.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
It is a bit polarizing. Some people are satisfied with the ending. Others wanted to see a showdown between the two characters, but we feel that it does resolve our protagonist's story. She does get the closure that she was seeking. We don't
just not maybe in the way she or the audience was hoping or anticipating, but I think it turns out to be the closure that she needed.
Is it? Because I would argue that she does something to prolong the closure. In doing her act at the end of the film, she's accepted what's happened. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also prolonged it. So now she has to wait again.
Well, she doesn't particularly – she says earlier in the movie that she and her sister have not had a relationship for a long time. So this was a wish from their late mother, which to the audience isn't giving anything away. This is the mother dies prior to the.
I didn't. You know, you're bringing it up.
It's in the trailer,
yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Mom's dead. Spoiler.
Yeah. There's an urn on the poster. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I haven't seen the poster, so I apologize.
There's an urn on it of the mother who is dead. In case anyone didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Dead mom.
Yeah. Dead mom.
Okay.
Trigger warning, yeah. For some people. Dead mom.
Okay. That was just something I want to throw out. So as the film starts. your character kind of just randomly shows up in LA, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, obviously she has a reason to, but she just doesn't really have a plan. How does that feel as an actress? You're showing up. I mean, you've got to mourn the loss of your mother at this time.
Yeah.
And you have to have a plan. And as an actress, how do you approach that plan? Because you really don't have a defined plan in the film until later.
Right. I think it's kind of exciting. And I think Nina, at the beginning of the movie, is the plan is, okay, I have to find my sister. I promised my mother. It was a deathbed promise. I have to find her. All I have is an address. So I also think this promise that I have to fulfill to go find my sister is also an excuse to run away from my shitty life. So it's a twofold thing. You know, I live in Kansas. I've been caring for my mom. I hate my job. And it's like an excuse. Okay, I can run away from my life and I can go find my sister. All I have is an address, but I have to get out of here. And I just broke up with my fiance, which we also learn early in the movie. So it's like running away to what? I don't know.
Okay, fair
enough.
Let's
find out.
So I'm going to be jumping here back and forth between the two of you, just so you know. Alex, as a writer, I did find you tried to tie up ends as we go. So you tie up her problems running away from Kansas. You do tie that up. I'll give you that. But I also have weird plot twists that weren't intended. We don't know what happens to the apartment. Does Katia, do you think, take over it?
The apartment?
Yes, with the roommate.
No, she just leaves with it. She just has the car. The roommate.
I mean, it's her apartment.
It's that roommate's apartment.
The kooky roommate, Yasmina. It's her apartment.
Okay. Because I know your sister at the time was renting it. So I was wondering what was going on there. Will she go back? I know she takes off with the car. But where does she go? Like, we don't know.
We don't.
I don't think Nina knows either. I think it's like, okay, all I know is I have decided to leave my life in Kansas. The end. So I'm driving up the coast. New adventure.
In the Prius. Because everybody in the movie drives a Prius. Because that's
LA.
Oh, I'll have to trust you on that.
Yeah, every character, I believe, except for the cop.
No?
No, the cop, no. Yeah, every character drives a Prius.
You got a good deal on Prius rentals? Okay. So we're getting there. You do make jokes about yourself, Alex. You say writers are looked down upon. Is this true?
Writers and actors are plentiful here in Los Angeles. The big difference is actors, by going on auditions, at least are forced to meet other people, and it's quite possible for writers to never see anybody. Now, when I work from home, so I see my family all the time. I have friends who love to go to Starbucks or other places, and I say, why? That seems like a waste of time. And they say, if I don't leave the house, I don't see anybody. So, you know, I totally get that, you know. Yeah, it's a solitary existence, and most of writing is done with the hope that it gets the light of day. I mean, I started as a playwright, and there's a stat that 90% of people who call themselves playwrights never get a production done of any of their plays. Oh. That's a solitary, lonely existence. I've been fortunate to have a few productions, but yeah, we spend our time in a room. Actors do their work with other people,
okay.
Presumably.
Kat, I will jump back to you. As an actress, I hope you didn't have to audition for this role. First off.
I did, but I'll never tell what I had to do. No, I'm kidding. I didn't have to audition.
Now, did you get
wrote it for me? Lucky me.
Did you get to be in on the audition process? Did you choose what actresses and actors you're going to work with?
Absolutely. I mean, this was, you know, a truly independent, low budget film, and one of the many, many ways that we saved money. Because we didn't have a casting director for this movie. Every actor in the movie was our friend or a friend of a friend. So we just rounded up our most talented friends and made a movie. So that's one thing we didn't spend money on, casting.
I wrote it in mind to be low budget. So I had a lot of these people in mind when we were writing it. Not every role, with some people we met along the way. But yeah, that was one of the benefits, was working with people we know. And another one is our five principal characters, both Katia and our four other leads, all have experience as series regulars and TV shows, which means they're used to doing 7 to 10 pages a day. They know how to do continuity, you know, lifting the wine glass the same way every time. And that made my job a lot easier by working with people who we did have a script supervisor, but it made everybody's job easier that people could, you know, could just do so many pages in a day.
Okay, let's pick up from there. I do recognize your Nina. I did recognize her instantly. No problem. Yeah. D. Wallace Stone is not one of your regulars, I presume, are your top ones you're talking about?
Well, D. Wallace and Katya are on the same TV show. It's an Amazon series, family series called Just Add Magic. So it was actually, they were in the, probably in the dressing room together.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you're like,
and
oh,
like,
would you like to read this?
D, will you be in our movie, please?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was fun. And she did us a tremendous favor by doing the star cameo in this movie. And she probably won't mind if I share that the scene that she's in, that's actually her backyard in real life.
Awesome.
That gorgeous backyard with the pool. I know. Yeah. She was like, sure, I'll do you the favor by being in this movie. You can come to my house and shoot it. Thanks. We were like, of course. So yeah, that's her beautiful house that we filmed at.
That's pretty cool. I'll give you full credit. I apologize for not seeing your other show. I'm not a big TV guy, so.
Oh, that's okay.
Also, the target audience is 8 to 12-year-old kids.
Yeah, kids. Oh. How old are your kids?
They're probably right in that target range, so I will suggest
it
to them.
You still don't have to see it, but they would probably
I do want to say, you make an F. Scott Fitzgerald joke one point at Alex, and I did research your joke, and you're wrong.
It wasn't a Charleston Chew.
No, I did look it up. I'm like, oh, maybe he's right and I missed that. No, I did look it up. I thought you'd find that funny, that you maybe go to Wiki and look it up.
What did you find out? Because it is based a little on truth.
He died of a heart attack.
He did. But he had been hospitalized. But he was in a chair. And it was all in Hollywood. So the actor who plays that police officer shared us that story where he's friends with ours. He lives in a fantastic West Hollywood apartment building that's been around since the 19-teens. And it's
which in Hollywood years is like ancient.
3,000 years, yeah. And his the companion building was one that F. Scott Fitzgerald had died in. So we sort of used that and turned it around. Yeah, see, he did not eat a Charleston Chew and keel over. But we don't know what he was eating before he died.
That is very true. Yeah. Katya, I want to discuss your scene in the club. You're in the club. You're on many dates. I thought the scene was very funny. I want to stay there. Did you get to decide your wardrobe, or did your husband decide your wardrobe for that scene?
Well, we had a costume designer, and she and I, you know, I would like to say that, like, oh yeah, Alex definitely had input, but she and I pretty much decided all my clothes, and he was like, great. So,
but there was the big thing about her wardrobe.
But I definitely had a say in everything that I wore. You know, she and I worked together, and a lot of those clothes were mine. I mean, low budget, you know.
Except for the her sister, whose clothes she's borrowing, definitely is shall we say
a different look than Nina's normal clothes.
So it was two different looks.
Yeah.
Now, was the lost luggage based on experience, or is that just based on general everybody loses luggage?
I fortunately have not lost luggage, knock wood. But it was a mechanism for us to set the stage for the beginning, and then hopefully the audience forgets a little about it. So when the luggage does reappear with what's inside, it's a surprise.
I'm giving you full credit for that. I kept wondering, when's the luggage going to play? I was waiting for the luggage to come back, but that's just...
You know, it's an old playwriting rule. If you have a set and you have a gun somewhere on stage, you better use that gun.
Don't put
a gun somewhere if you're not going to use it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't lose the bag unless you're going to find it.
Yeah, unless you're going to find the bag. We don't talk about that.
In a dramatic way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to ask, Nina, how come you're always eating when you're in the car?
Good question. And I'm so glad you observed. First of all, I feel like detectives on stakeouts are always eating in cars. When you see them in movies, they're always like having donuts or sandwiches or who's getting takeout tonight. So it's a little bit of a play on a stereotype. And also, we wanted to make a point of having Nina eat often, because people in LA don't eat. Oh. And which we kind of poke fun at in the movie. So we were like, okay, Nina's normal and she eats like a normal person and we want to show her eating.
So are you always eating a pita or something? I was trying to figure out what you were eating.
That was a weird one.
Oh, that was a weird one. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. That one looks weird. It's like a weird, sad taco.
Okay.
I can't remember. Yeah. It was like
our props
person like sort of dropped the ball that day. I can't remember what the situation, but they like shoved it in my hand the last minute. I'm like, what the hell is this? But it was like, yeah, it was a sad taco, which is really sad because LA has the best tacos in the world. Well, in America.
Okay. How often do you go to Haha Yoga?
Haha Yoga, I mean, that actual like brick and mortar place does not exist, but Laughing Yoga does. It's a thing.
I urge people to spend 30 seconds on a YouTube rabbit hole. Look up Laughing Yoga. It's a thing. It's a little terrifying to me, but people do it. So that's a real sort of practice. But Haha Yoga as a chain does not exist.
Okay. I was wondering, I'm like, is this thing real?
It is real. The videos are no more – I mean, it's a little different what our actress chose to do, but it's no further more weird. What's the term? It's not any weirder than what you see in the movie.
Okay. I have more questions along this line. Organic E-Universe, does this exist?
Organic. Sure, dude. It's L.A. Like every – so many actor people are like, yeah, I also have a blog. I also like – you know, I'm a vegan and I love to talk about it. And, you know, I mean, we're poking fun, but, you know, lots of people in LA are upset.
This is our big culture shock because we met in New York. We lived in New York. We came out to LA and one big difference, and this is a generalization, but in the food culture in New York, people talk about where they've eaten.
People brag about where they eat in New York. Like, have you been to this restaurant? Have you been to Milk Bar? Have you been to, you know, whatever.
And in LA, people brag about what they're not eating. They're like, oh, I gave up sugar. Oh, are you diabetic? No.
Dairy, gluten,
all those things.
People brag about what they're not eating and cleanses.
See, now I know. Man, I should just keep staying in Canada. I eat what I want. I couldn't care less what anybody else does.
Yeah.
Well, bravo, sir.
And we generally, you know, I mean, we try to be healthy. But, like, and this is a generalization. There's still plenty of real food and also plenty of crap food here in L.A.
Donuts everywhere. That was one culture shock when we moved here. I'm like, people are obsessed with, like, vegan food and simultaneously donuts. It's really weird.
Okay. I'll accept that. If a nude model is not in art class, what's she modeling for?
Oh, think about it.
I had to put that out there. You can't just leave me hanging going, I'm going to have to let that go.
Possibilities go. But I kind of like how Nina doesn't ask. It's like, okay, I don't want to know the answer to the follow-up, so let's just move on.
Yeah, let's get into a bit about Nina a little bit more here. Other than closure, does Nina really want to know a lot? I find she should question people more, like the police officers, like her roommate. She kind of just accepts things quickly and moves along.
Well, she's learning to be a detective, I think. And it's one thing that we try to do in the script is to keep her active. So as you said before, which is true, she comes here with nothing. So what does she do? So she's figuring it out along the way. And a lot of it is getting over. She's kind of an introvert. So a lot of it is getting over being in a new place and doing all that sort of stuff. So yeah, there is a lot of maybe not knowing the right questions to ask. She's not a Columbo. So that was the tricky thing for me is how does she solve a mystery without the skill set that, you know, classic detectives have? They all have something going for them to solve the crime. She's never done this before.
Now, do you feel your character should have talked to Richard at some point? I always thought that was going to happen, and then you kept putting it off. So how do you feel about that?
Well, I do answer the phone eventually and tell him that I can't talk. I think Nina is running away from him. I think she's running away from her former life. Like, Richard... they were engaged. They were together for 8 years. Then the relationship ends. Her mother dies. And it's like, dude, I got to go. I got to make a change. I think it's like, I got to change or I'm going to die. So she goes. Sure. And I mean, I think she's done, you know, the relationship with Richard is over. And it's a reminder of the former life that she's trying to leave.
Yeah, we slowly leak out details about the life. When we see her in the beginning, all you know is she got off a plane, she's wearing a black dress, and she doesn't have her luggage. That's all we know from the beginning. And we slowly give little details throughout about the mom and what happened to her, about Richard and the end of their relationship. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to eke it out slowly. I didn't want to make it an exposition fest. I wanted to, when the time was right and important, to give another little nugget of her past.
Fair enough. You do give me a nice exposition dumped when we go visit the guy that receives things. I'm trying to be very vague, but you know what I'm talking about. But you did fill me in on everything. Now, yeah. I want to discuss his two goons. Did you pick those guys out? Those guys are pretty beefy.
Thanks.
One of them I know through a playwrights lab that I do here in LA. He's a writer and an actor, and I was like, this guy is perfect for it. Another guy was a last minute replacement. We lost an actor because he had a death in the family, and this guy we knew from New York, actually. Mm-hmm. He's a Broadway like singer dancer type, but he's like got the right build and everything, and yeah, they were fun.
I cannot see that guy singing and dancing.
Yeah,
you can Google him.
I'm going to have to. That's great.
Google Joe Coots Kinky Boots. That's all you need to do. Joe Coots Kinky Boots.
Oh, there you go, people. Go look it up.
People are going to Google laughing yoga, Joe Coots Kinky Boots.
Yeah, whatever. We got more.
We're keeping them busy. You have some very interesting musical choices throughout the film. You give me some country. You give me some blues. You give me piano. What was your take on that? Where were you going with it?
So there are a wide variety, as you say, but they're mostly grounded in jazz because this is a noir movie, but what I like to call a daytime noir. So we all know film noir and the classic tropes and everything. That, you know, there's darkness and shadows. There's a person who's wrong. There's a detective working on their own. But I like what I call daytime noir, and those are movies that allow for comedy, but they still are a mystery. Movies like The Big Lebowski or multiple Coen Brothers movies. Robert Altman's The Long Goodbye or The Player or Shortcuts. These are all mysteries that are solved in classic noir style, but because we see a lot of it during the day, there's a lot of humor that we allow into it. It's not as scary, but there's still some thrills. Now, to go back to your question, that's why I wanted a jazz score. So we have multiple jazz artists who contributed music to the movie, and then our composer Jamie Christofferson, who's awesome, did the rest, did all the heavy lifting. We just play songs here and there.
Now, I'd be amiss if I didn't discuss locations in L.A., because I know L.A. is not a cheap place to film. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you about the airport.
Well, now that the film, you know, is done and available, I mean, what are the film police going to come after us?
They might. So we'll just say, hypothetically, you don't go in with a crew. We were a permitted we were a fully permitted movie for pretty much everything you see.
Except the airport.
Well, no, that's not true. Also, the beach.
Yes, and the beach.
We went to this remote beach in northern Malibu, and we're like, are we going to be safe here? We were one of three different shoots on that beach the same day, all doing the same thing we were doing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the airport, that was exciting. So we saved the airport shot for the very last shot of the movie with the bare bones crew, because we were like, if something goes wrong, at least we will have shot the rest of the movie. So the last thing we ever shot was Alex, me, and our DP. That's it. We drove to the airport, parked there like normal people, rented one of those, luggage carts. And our DP had brought a duffel bag for the camera, and she cut out the side of the duffel bag for the lens and opened the top of the duffel bag so that she could look in on the monitor. And we brought, like, bags as if we were traveling like normal people.
Yeah, so the camera was never visible. Katya's hair and makeup was done before we even got in the car to go to the airport. So that was all.
Yeah, you mean I did it myself in the car on the way there?
Well, you had
No, Selena wasn't there that day.
Oh, she wasn't there that day. Yeah. Anyway. So we actually, because of that, and unfortunately it didn't make it into the movie, but we had a couple of tracking shots in the airport by using this dolly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, luggage cart as a dolly. And I had my cell phone in my purse, and I would just go up the escalator, and Alex would call me and be like, okay, action. And I would put my phone away and go down the escalator and walk. And
and in fact, in one take we didn't use, before she comes, so it's the first shot we see her, which is the second shot of the movie. She comes down the escalator alone. In one of the takes, coming in front of her was a TSA agent who looks directly into the camera and then walks off. She's on her phone. She looks at her phone, then looks up, stares right at the camera, doesn't see it because it's a black bag. She's not seeing anything.
Right.
But so we can't use that. First off, we can't use that take because it's someone else.
So fly safe, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I got a couple more things, and we got to get to these great questions I got sent.
Okay.
Your bar location looks kind of interesting. Who do you know to get that one?
Sorry, what was that?
The bar location?
That was our toughest day. First off, so all the houses, the interior house locations, was a different actor's house. So we Hugo's house is actually Prudence's real house, and the cop Franklin's house is actually Iskandar's real house. So we were moving; everyone's just sharing their houses and all that sort of stuff, which is great.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. The bar was a rental. It's in North Hollywood. That was actually our toughest day because they gave us strict time parameters. We couldn't get in there before.
Said
it was 7 a.m. when we got in. And you didn't have to be there,
Seb.
It was 7 a.m. And we had to be out by 6. And out means we have to be picture wrapped by 5 to get everything out of there. It was a narrow room. And we actually shot not only the interior of the bar
scenes.
But the club scenes, but the first date with Hugo and Nina at a different area that looks totally different. So we shot like 10 pages that day.
Yeah,
it was awful.
Extras and crazy lighting and that was a tough day.
Yeah, it was a tough day. But, when you're on a low-budget movie, you rent a place for one day, and you go get it all in.
Okay, before we get to my favorite fun questions part of the movie, we're going to discuss what Kate sent us. Your PR director sent us some suggested talking points.
Yes.
And I would feel bad if she went to all this effort to write these, and we didn't talk about them.
Sure.
So, Kate, this is for you. What inspired you to be a writer-director?
I wrote my first play in third grade, and I directed my first play in second grade. So it's always been in my blood.
Aww.
There, how's that?
That's perfect. Now, her second question is, what closure is based on true life experience of yours? And where did the inspiration come from?
Well, I think we sort of covered that we moved to L.A. and we were fish out of water, but at least we did it together. And the technical inspiration was that we wanted to make something. And so we had to fit it in during everyone's busy schedules, and we were able to do that. So it was a combination of being inspired by solving a mystery when you don't know anybody or have anybody to help you.
And the culture shock of coming to L.A.,
yeah.
I think.
Which isn't that different from New York.
Sure it is. And it's the same, a lot of the same show business BS, but the actual culture of living here, I think, is very different than living in New York.
Okay, and here's the favorite one, which I couldn't even figure out how to ask this. What do you dislike about your character, Nina? Other characters.
Can we pass?
Can we pass?
Who cares is my honest answer to this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good answer.
I'm going to pass. Let's just pass. And you'll cut this out of your
No, I'm not cutting this out. This is staying in for Kate because she wanted these. What was your strategy as an independent filmmaker to make a decent film? Who asked this question?
Yes.
The
strategy was, how do we win 7 Oscars? And we're still working on that.
How are we doing?
And there are more questions, listeners, but I can't read any more of this garbage because it's terrible. I'm done. That's enough of those.
Well, we want your questions.
Well, my questions are much more fun than – I'm just terrible. Sorry. I apologize for that, but it was too fun not to read them. because you're the first time on my show, I have to ask you your favorite film.
Oof.
Favorite film.
I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm ready with mine. You're going to laugh, and I don't care. Because my favorite film – hits all the things, and it's a film that my favorite films are the kind of films you can watch over and over again, but my favorite film of all time is The Princess Bride.
Nothing wrong with that. Not gonna even laugh.
Thank you.
That's a good film.
Thank you. It's perfect.
Now, the playwright, I expect something a little more esoteric.
Yeah, I know. Alex can give like a smarty pants filmmaker.
Can I give a three way tie? Or do you
of
just
course leave? You can.
Okay, three way tie.
No, this interview's over.
And this is going to surprise you a little bit.
Okay.
Not this one. Goodfellas.
Okay.
The Fisher King.
Hang on. If I don't like the third one, I'm reading another question off this list. Just so you know.
Okay.
I'm not going Goodfellas, to
Fisher King and Big Lebowski.
I love Big Lebowski. Absolutely my top 10 of all time.
Great.
Yeah, I do too. I love the Fisher King.
Okay, I'm going back to old questions I haven't used in a while because I love asking this question. When do you go to the movie theater? What do you order at the snack bar?
Oh, easy. Popcorn and Raisinets.
Yeah, that was a tough one for me because I'm more of a Snow Caps guy than a Raisinets. But we put them in. You know, you have the popcorn, you take the Raisinets, you put them in.
What? I shake the Raisinets into the popcorn.
I have to ask, what's a Snow Cap?
A snow cap.
It's a really dumb candy.
It's a non-Pirel. It's a tiny non-Pirel.
It does not help.
You know, that chocolate with like little white sprinkles.
It's basically like a big chocolate chip with little white sugar on it.
Okay.
It's dumb.
I got it. That's all good. If he likes it, that's all good.
And Coke Zero to clean it out.
Of course. You gotta have the Coke Zero. It wouldn't be the same without it.
Yes, exactly.
What is the one film you should have seen and haven't yet?
Well, I did see with you when when you start dating someone, you share all your like, this is my
like,
favorite.
You have
this
to
is
see
yours.
This. You have to read this.
So I guess this is technically that I haven't seen because I fell asleep watching Gone with the Wind with you.
You're not missing anything.
mine is a bit shameful. I have seen pieces of all of these films, but I haven't seen all of them in its entirety, the Godfather trilogy.
You can skip the third one. First two are solid.
Okay. That's what I've heard. Yeah. I mean, I've seen like some big scenes. I know some moments I could probably like, you know, give you the plot, but I haven't actually seen the whole damn thing.
That's a great question, though. What's yours?
Good question. Do you have one?
I have numerous ones. I can give you some films after. It would be a long later. I will give them to you later, I promise.
Okay.
I just want, before we wrap up, because I only go an hour and we're almost there, so we got a little bit of time because you might talk about this. Your film's about to be released on VOD, correct?
Yeah.
It's out now.
So tell everybody where to find it, and you might have other projects you want to promote. This would be a good time.
Sure. Well, you can go to closurefilm.com. You can go to, for you folk, it's primevideo.com is the Amazon link.
Is it available on Prime
VOD.
Video in Canada or just Prime Video in USA?
Prime Video in Canada.
Okay, good. Just so you know.
And USA, but I got confirmation today from our distributor that's in Canada right now. Okay. And actually, you had a friend who was in Canada who saw it. So,
great.
We have proof that it is available. Plugging other projects.
Oof.
Well, if any listeners do have children 8 to 12 years old, her show Just Add Magic, season 4 is airing now. It's an Amazon show.
Also on Amazon, yeah. That's an Amazon Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple plays. I have a play called It Is Done, which has been published and is being produced now around North America. There's been 4 productions so far. The most recent one was in Beverly Hills. There's one in Raleigh, North Carolina. So hopefully it's coming to more theaters.
And you can buy it online.
You can buy it online.
At originalworkspublishing.com.
Or at my website, alexgoldberg.net.
Thank you guys for your time. You were awesome. Have a great night.
Thank you so much.
Nice talking to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.